Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Amar of Ami Tumtum. A Tumtum is an individual who his sign of being a male or a female are covered. And therefore we don't know what his status is. Is he a man or a woman? It says the Gemara Amar of Ami Tumtum. And this Tumtum that was born was the Bechor. And then Nikra, that membrane that covers the spot, was uncovered. And now we see that he is indeed a male. And he's a Bechor. Nimsa Zachar, he's a male. And he's a Bechor. The question is, does he get the double portion that we've been discussing a Bechor gets? So says Rav Ami, Eina Noitla Pishnaim. He doesn't get that portion. Damakra. Because the pasuk, when it speaks about a bechor, says v'haya habena bechor l'snia. The Torah speaks kishena lishtei noshim ha'uch achas ahuva v'achas nua v'haya habena bechor l'snia. Says the Gemara, we learn from that pasuk that individuals only consider the bechor atshe came mishas avaya, from his actual creation, from when he's born, is he a bechor? And here, at the time of birth, we weren't sure if this individual is a Bechor or not. And since we're not sure if he's a Bechor or not, he's not treated that way. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman, and certainly explained the Rashbam, if we have an individual who is an androgynous, and the definition of an androgynous is somebody who has the simonim both of a male and a female, says the Rashbam, such an individual certainly the aloch will be, is not treated like a bechor. The Torah Hagdosha teaches us the individual who steals from his parents and then he takes that money that he stole and he uses it for meat and wine. And if he was warned to stop this type of behavior and he doesn't pay attention, he's brought to Beis Din and he gets malchus. If he continues in this inappropriate fashion, the loch is he gets skila. Because as the Torah says, nidan al shame soifai, we know what eventually will happen to him. And therefore the Torah, as the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, explains, mutav yom zakai v'lo yom eschayiv. It's better he should die innocently than he should die after having done all these types of averis. But says the Gemara, this individual, who as we just described, was born as a tumtum, even though he was ultimately identified as a regular zocher, will not have the halachas of a ben soira meira. Af ein anidin ke ben soira meira, the amak kra, the Torah, when it speaks about the soira meira, says, ki yil ish ben soira meira, achi hey, an individual is only considered Ben Sayer Meirer, Mishas Havaya. From the time he was born, we knew he was a son. That's a boy. That's the opinion of the Rashbam. The Rambam explains the Gemara somewhat differently. The Rambam says, what the Gemara means to say is, as we just said, a Ben Sayer Meirer is warned not to continue with this type of behavior. And says the Rambam, what our Gemara means to say is that an individual who acts has to be, when he was warned, we had to know that he was a boy. But if at the time that he was warned, we did not know that he's a boy, then he can't be considered a ben soira meira. A meima says, af einam amat chelik b'chayra. He also doesn't, it doesn't affect the b'chayra. And the way all the Rishonim explain this Gemara is if there were three sons, the b'char is the oldest son, then there's a regular son, and then there's the tumtum. And the father left nine portions. That's the way Rishayim explained the Gemara. The Bechor gets three. So we know that whenever there's a Bechor, the Bechor gets a double portion. So as far as his double portion is concerned, we disregard the tumtum. And by disregarding the tumtum, so he gets, so we divide into three portions, just between him and his next brother, and he gets three as Bechor. Now we're left with six portions. The Bechor got three portions. We're left with three portions, that each one of the children will get two. So the Bechor will end up with five portions, and the two other brothers will end up with two portions each. Shenemar, and why is this, says the Gemara? Because the Torah says, V'yol d'boy bonim, v'havu asnu v'haya ben b'alach sniya, atche ben b'shas leida. The Bechor, the tumtum, only affects the Bechor's, the child. Another child could only affect the Bechor's portion if it was clear that he was a boy at the time of birth. But if he wasn't clear that he was a boy at the time of birth, then he can't affect the Bechor's portion. This whole scenario is only in a case like we just described, where there are three sons, the way we described it. But says the Rashbam, if there were only two sons, the Bechor and this individual who started off as a tumtum and then was identified as a boy, then the halacha will be that they'll each get, then we'll divide it as we divide every Bechaira, where the Bechor will get six and he will get three. Rav Shizvi says another halacha. Af eina nima l'shmeina. Doesn't have a bris mila on the eighth day, Damakra. Ishik is Azri v'yol de Zachar, uv'yom Hashmini Yimel, and here too we learn at Shehei Zachar that is considered there was a male b'shas leida, and the halacha here is regarding a bris mila on Shabbos, that we know that a bris mila is allowed to be made on Shabbos if everything is correct, the child was born naturally, etc. But if the child that was born as a tumtum, the special halacha doesn't apply to him, and he won't have a bris mila on the eighth day. If it's Shabbos? So the question is, when will he have the bris mila if it's not Shabbos? And there's an interesting machlokas rishonim regarding that question. Some rishonim suggest if it's not Shabbos, so there's no issue of chil Shabbos. Since there's no issue of chil Shabbos, the bris could be on whatever day is the eighth day. But there are other Rishonim that say, no, that the bris should be immediately. Because to him, the din of B'yayim HaShmini Yayim B'Basar Olasai wasn't said. So he should have his bris mila as soon as possible. So we'll have a situation, according to those Rishonim, that he should have his, that you could have a Jewish child that's obligated to have a bris, and the bris should take place before the eighth day. Big machloikas rishonim, because the question is the orla considered an orla before the eighth day? What is the halacha? Taisus and Masechta Pesachim discusses that if we have such an individual who was born this way, and we don't know if he's a male or a female, and because we don't know if he's a male or a female, we won't make a bris. But is there an obligation to make an operation to determine that he is a male, in order that we should have to make a bris mila? So the Chem de Shleima says that no. He says that making that type of surgery involves sakana. Any surgery involves sakana, and this too involves sakana. And the halach is we don't have to put a child into danger on that type of a suffix. And the proof being that if a child is born well, a child is born as a male, we don't make the bris until he's healthy enough. Certainly this child, that we're not sure if he's a male, or as I saw some Rishonim say, the Pri Yitzchak says, I'm sorry, that even if he's a male, he may have been born with a bris mila. And somebody that was born with a bris mila is not obligated to have a bris mila. And therefore the halach is, yes, if ultimately he is determined to be a male, we have to make a bris mila. But we're not obligated to go out of our way to make a bris, to make a surgery to determine if he's a male. Rav Shabbi Aimer Ef ein imay tumeya. His mother doesn't have the din of a tumas leida. Damakra ishi kazazri v'yolda zachar v'tumeya shivas yamim ache zachar mshas leida. The Torah Kedosh says, and we must emphasize that many of the halachas that we're now going to say are midaraisa, but are not halachas that we practice b'zman hazeh. But the Torah Kedosh says that a woman has a boy for the first 7 days after the birth, she's tamei no matter what. Even if she doesn't see any dam, the halacha is she's tamei. For the next 33 days, she's tahor no matter what. That means even if she sees dam during those 33 days, the halacha calls that dam tahor, and she won't become tamei. If a woman has a girl, everything doubles. For the first 14 days, she's tamei no matter what. And then for the next 66 days, till day 80 from the birth, even if she sees dam, that dam is dam tahor. Now the question is, this woman had a tumtum. And the question is, how does the halacha treat this individual? So the Gemara is saying that even if this individual is ultimately determined to be a boy, but at the time of birth, it wasn't known if he's a boy or not, so these halachas don't apply to this individual. Meisvei asks Gemara on what Reb Shabbi just said. The Mishnah in Masechta Nida tells us a mapelas tumtum vandroginus, if a woman it was a mapelas, that means she had a miscarriage, or she miscarried a tumtum vandroginus, so we don't know if it was a boy or a girl. Teshev lezacher v'lekeva. We give her all the chumras. That means we don't know how to treat these children that were born. Should they be treated like a zacher? Should they be treated like a nekeva? So we give all the chumras. What does it mean, all the chumras? That till day 14, no matter what type of dam they had, the halach is they will be tamei, because we have to be concerned that maybe it was a nekeva. And as we just learned, a nekeva is tamei when one has a girl, she's tamei for 14 days no matter what. On the other hand, they might have been considered like there's a boy, as if there was a boy. If there was a boy, she's only tar till day 40, not till day 80. And because we can't be sure what happened over here, we give all the chumras. And we treat her like a boy and a girl, whatever will result in a chumra. But we just learned, ask the Gemara, the Rav Shabbia said that there is no tumas leida when a tumtum androgynous is born. So ask the Gemara, to yofta Rav Shabbia, doesn't this clearly represent a refutation of what Rav Shabbia said? Says yes, the Gemara to yofta, it indeed is a refutation. Says the Gemara, should we also say, should we also say that Rav Shizbi said that when the tumtum is born and when he's born, we don't know if he's a zacher. Even if he's ultimately identified as a zacher, then the halacha is that he doesn't have a bris milah on Shabbos. Why don't we say the Mishnah, just like the Mishnah didn't say this regarding Hilchas Tumah? And the Mishnah didn't say that when the Torah says the Tamish Ishik is Azriv Yod Zachar, that we have to know that he's a Zachar. The Mishnah clearly in Masechta Nida is telling us that the Yod Zachar is not to be interpreted that we have to know with certainty that he's a Zachar. So why don't we say the same regarding Hilchas Milah? And say, even though we didn't know at the time of birth that he's a Zachar, if ultimately he's identified as a Zachar, he should be treated as a zacher, says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. But rather, the way to understand the Mishnah is Tana Svukim Sapkalei. The Tana Masechta Nida is not sure how to treat this individual. And since we're not sure how to treat this individual, we have to go L'chumra. Ask the Gemara, Ihacha, if everything we're doing is L'chumra, and that's the way to learn the Mishnah Masechta Nida, so ask the Gemara, there's another chumrah that should be included. As we said, if he's not a boy, if we're not sure, and we maybe shouldn't treat it not as a boy, as not as a girl, so then the Hilchus Nida will apply. And therefore, so if she sees Dam, the Aloch should be treated like a Nida. So why did the Mishnah only say, we treat this individual, L'chumra, like a Zochel and a Keva? It should be added that she be also treated, L'chumra, as a Nida. Says the Gemara, Kasha. So the Rashbam says, as we've quoted in our Shurim many times, that there's a difference between when the Gemara uses the word Kasha versus when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta. When the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta, it's meant to say that we don't have an answer to this question. But when the Gemara uses the word Kasha, it means we have a question, but there's an answer to the question. What is the possible answer to the question? So Rashbam says what the Gemara should have said, which is what the Gemara often says, is that we treat this individual, we should have inserted into this Gemara, in that Mishnah, the word Ulanida, that indeed he's treated like a boy or like a girl, or she's treated like a Nida L'chumra. There's also, the Rashbam says, and we'll just mention this briefly, because again, it's not relevant L'alocha L'maisa, but there's another issue that comes up, and that is Midaraisa, a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. During the 7 days, she becomes a Nida. And Midaraisa, and I emphasize that all these halachas we're saying now are only Midaraisa. During the days that she's a Nida, she has to, if she sees even for 7 days, if at the end of 7 days she's no longer seeing Dam, then she's fine, she goes to the mikveh. She doesn't have to have Zayin Nekiyim. Then the woman begins a cycle of 11 days. During those 11 days, if she sees Dam for 3 consecutive days, then the halacha is she becomes a Zava, and she needs Zayin Nekiyim, and she has to go to the mikveh after Zayin Nekiyim. And the halacha is, again, that all these halachas are not relevant. Bizman Azeh, we always make a woman, as soon as she sees even the slightest amount of Dam, wait Zayin Nekiyim before she goes to the mikveh. However, if we're being machmer, points out the Rashbam, so let's say the woman will see Dam. So if the woman's keeping a calendar, and she'll know if these days that she saw Dam were Nida days or Zava days, and act accordingly. But here, we're not sure if they are Nida days or Ziva days, or maybe Dam Tahor days, and that could cause, as we will learn in Mitzvah, when we learn Masech the Nida, very serious, very, very serious difficulties and how to treat this woman. Says the Amarava, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Ami, we learned in a Braisa that supports what Rav Ami has taught us in our Shia today, because the Braisa says, Ben, that when is somebody entitled to be treated as a Bechor, when he's a Ben, Veloy Timtam, when he's not, when he was a tumtum Bechor, and then there's another halacha that only an individual who is a Bechor is treated as a Bechor, V'loy Safik. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, the halacha that we just learned, a Ben V'loy Tumtum, is a halacha that we need to learn, like Rav Ami began our Shia today. Ella, when the Braisa taught us that there's a halacha Bechor V'loy Safik, Lefukimai, what is meant with that halacha? Answers the Gemara, Lefuke Midadarish Rava. It's coming to teach us that we don't follow the opinion of Rava. The Darish Rava. Rava taught us, Shtei Noshim, Sheol Debei Zechorim B'machvei. Two women had babies in a dark place. We don't know who is the Bechor of whom. Or, as the Rishonim point out, it could be one woman who had twins. And we have this one woman with twins, and we don't know who's the Bechor and who's not the Bechor. So Rava says, what do these two individuals do? They write a power of attorney to each other. That means, in the case of if they're born to two different women, they write to each other this Hashah, and when one of them comes to take a Yerusha from his father, from the father, and he says, I'm a Bechor, and his brothers say, well, we don't even know if you're our brother, So he has this power attorney from the other brother. And so too do we do vice versa. And the same if they're twins, the example that we just gave. When the two brothers are twins, and each one of these two brothers, the other brothers will say to them, you're not the Bechor, because they wrote this Hashah to each other, it's good enough. But what do we see from here? That even though when they were born, we weren't able to identify who is the Bechor and who's not the Bechor, the Bryce is telling us that we're learning that they are treated like Bechor, not like Rava said. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Papa Rava, that even Rava retracted. V'shalach Ravin, Davaz Hashat L'chol Rabbeis, I asked this question to all my Rabbeim, V'loi Amalei Davar, what is the halacha regarding Bechor V'loi Sofik? V'loi Amalei Davar, they weren't able to answer. Barach Kach Amar Mishum Rav Yanai, Hukru, if when they were born, we were able to identify who was the Bechor and who wasn't, and then there was a mix-up, and now we lost track who is the Bechor and who's not Bechor. They could write this document. However, in a situation loy hukra, that we never knew from their birth who was the Bechor, their halacha is in Kaisvin Hashar Zalazah, because you have to have identification that you were Bechor. But then says the Gemara, Hadaruk Ukma Rava Amira Lay. As we know that the drushes, the way speeches were said, was the one that said the shir used to take somebody to say, he would say the shir to him, the Amira, and then the Amira would be the one to say it publicly. The Darash and Rava took this Amira and he made the following point. Tvaram Shamati Lechem, what I said, Tosheim B'yodai, as an error, Brach Kach Amru, Mishum Rav Yanai, the right way to learn is the way Rav Yanai just taught us. Hukru l'b'soif na'asabru. If at the beginning we were able to identify who is the Bechor, kais ma'ashar zol zu. But if loy hukra, Rav originally said that if we can't tell who's the Bechor, it makes no difference at what type that mix-up came, he's not considered a Bechor. But Rav retracted to what Rav Yanai said. If at the original point we knew he was a Bechor, then this hashah will work. Shochle b'nei akra da'am agma l'shmul. Yobdeinu rabbeinu. Hayimachzakim b'zeh shebechor. Everybody knew that this child is the Bechor. Vama aviv ben echa b'chahu. And now the father comes and says, I'm one of the other children is a Bechor. And as we've been learning, and we will continue learning, there's a din in the Torah of Yaker, that the Torah gives the father special authority to be to one to say, b'ni zu Bechor. And the question is, does the father have this authority even when it challenges the accepted chazaka or not? Sholchalei, so Shmuel responded, Kaisun Hashar Zalazah. Since we have this question, who is and who isn't the Bechor, what we should do is that the child that we thought was the Bechor till now, and this child who we're assuming is not the Bechor at this point, should write a Hashah to each other and collect the Chel Bechor together. Ask the Gemara, Manushach, we need to understand this. We're going to have a Machloikus of Rabbi Hud and the Chum, it's going to come up a number of times. Could somebody, that when we say that the father has this special Namonis, Yaker, does he have that Namonis even against existing Chazakah? So ask the Gemara Manashach, Iker Rabbanan Sfirlei, if Shmuel holds like Rabbanan, Lishlechlei, Kerabbanan. So he should have answered that we follow the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the opinion of the Rabbanan is that even though the father has Namonis, he doesn't have that Namonis against an existing Chazakah. Viker Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlei, if on the other hand, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the father always has the Namonis, Lishlech like Rabbi Yehuda. So why doesn't he say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, because Mesapkele, Shmuel actually had this question. Is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Is the halacha like Rabbanan? And therefore, since he wasn't sure what to do, that's why he said that it should be treated like we learned before, Hukrul B'Soif Nesavu, where we learned in the case of Hukrul B'Soif Nesavu that the halacha is that they write a hashah one, they write a hashah one to the other. So the Gemara just quoted the Machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda of the Rabbanon, and the Gemara wants to know Mahi, where do we find this Machloikus? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Kes b'char ben asnu yaker losus loy pishnaim yaker yakirenu lacherim. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda based on this Pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda based on this Pasuk says, Neman Adam Loimer, a father has the namonis to say that Zeb ni b'char. He has the namonis to say it, and says Rabbi Yehuda further, Shem Shneman Adam Loimer Zeb ni b'char. Just like a father has this namonis, kach neman loyma ze ben grusha, he could say that this child that was born to me is the son of a grusha, or is the son of a chalutza, and he's an amakoyin who wasn't supposed to marry such a woman, and therefore this child is a cholol, he's a disqualified koyin. And the Shalos HaRosh says that there's a special din in the Torah that under normal circumstances, a father is a karev. The father is one of our closest relatives. Still, he has namonis. The Torah gave him this namonis, and Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that this namonis is a very, very powerful namonis. It's a namonis that's in effect even when it's a namonis. And the question that the Rishonim already debate, is this considered like Eidus? And the Torah is saying that he's trusted like an aid, or is this a mnemonis, a special mnemonis that the Torah gave to the father? And actually, many of the Chroinim want to suggest that this Machloikus Rishonim might be directly related to the Machloikus of Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda. If it's being treated as an Eidus, so Eidus is not always going to be accepted. Eidus is only accepted under certain circumstances. And when it's going against a Chazakah, then the Eidus won't be trusted. And that will be the opinion of the Rabbanim. Whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that this is not a din in Eidus. This is a special din in Namonis. And the Torah gave the father this Namonis. And the father was given this namonis in such a strong fashion that even when it's going against the existing chazaka, it's nemon. But the Rishonim ask a question. The halacha here is that when he makes this type of a statement, he is saying that he did an aveira. And we know what our halacha is, that ain't other mason matzma rasha. So by saying that this person, this child, has whatever disqualification is contrary to the rule of ain't other mason matzma rasha. So the simple teretz is that everybody knew that he married this woman that he wasn't supposed to. And therefore, he could say that this child is a result of the marriage that I wasn't supposed to have. Another pshat that he's saying is that the Rishonim suggest goes back to what we just said, that he is Nemon because that's the special Nemonis that the Torah gave him. And I saw that some Rishonim, in fact, say that we do Palgin in the Bura. We believe him that he is the Bechor, that he isn't the Bechor, that he is the Bechor or he isn't the Bechor, but we don't believe him that he did that Aveira. That's the concept of Palgin and Deburah. Another pshat that I saw is that he said that we're referring here to a situation where the father says, I married a woman whom I wasn't supposed to marry, but it was Bishagig. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to marry such a woman. And because I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to marry this that woman, that's why he has the namonis. There's an interesting question that the Chroinim also discuss, at what point does the nemanus begin? It might be very much connected to what we're discussing in our shir. Does the nemanus begin as soon as the child is born? Or does the nemanus begin even before the child is born? And again, if it's Eidus, one could suggest that you could only say Eidus on an existing entity. If it's a special din, maybe it could be applied even earlier. V'cham ayrim en nemana. When there's an existing chazaka, he doesn't have nemanus against the existing chazaka. Says the Gemara, Omle Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'Rofa, Bishlam Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, that the father has the nemanus even against the existing chazaka, Hanedik Sev Yaker. That's meant what the Torah says, the word Yaker. El Rabbanon, that it's not Yaker Lomeli. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, B'makam Tzarech HaKeira. Even the Rabbanon rely on Yaker in a situation when there is no chazaka against it. And that's what the Torah comes to teach us with Alocha Yaker. Says the Gemara, L'mai Hilchus. So what will be accomplished according to Rabbanon with this Yaker? L'misfilei Pishnayim. That he's going to enter, the father is going to say, we have no reason to dispute what the father is saying. There's no existing contrary chazaka. And the father says that this son is a bechor, and therefore he'll get the double portion. Says the Gemara, lo yehei el acher, if this individual wasn't a child at all, ibai, says the Gemara, lemisle matana milayavle, as we're learning and we're going to learn in Hilchos Yerusha, we spoke about this in the Mishnah briefly, that a person could decide whom he wants to bequeath his assets to. So he could decide that I want to give this to this son, to this individual. So even if he doesn't have nemanus, that he's a bechor, he has that right to do. And it says the Gemara, we're speaking about loy tzricha b'nechasim shenafel olach mekan. Yes, a person could give his assets to anybody he wants. But he only could give assets that he has at that time. But let's say those assets, a person earns assets after he passed away. So the halacha is, for that he doesn't have the ability to give away. But by applying the halacha of Yaker, what does the halacha of Yaker say? That he is trusted to say he's a bechor. And therefore, any assets that come into play, the father will have a right to make that statement. Says the Gemara, but that's only if we hold Ein Adam Makta Dovah Shloi Baloilam. But if we follow the opinion of Ramei that we often learn in Shas, that says Adam Makta Dovah Shloi Baloilam, so the father could give to this individual even assets that he doesn't own. So again, we come back to the question of Yaka Lamali. What is the Yaka going to accomplish? Answers the Gemara, what accomplishes for Nechasim Shanafalok Shagaisis. Even Rameyer, who holds Adam Makta Davashah Ba'olam, is only if the person is an individual that is able to make transactions. But if this individual, Rachmana Litzlan, is a Gaisis we know throughout Shas, is an individual who's in the throes of death. And the halach is that this person cannot make Kinyonim. And as I saw the Rishonim point out, it's not because he can't speak. Because what would be the halacha if you'll have a goysis that can't speak? The halacha is, it wouldn't make a difference. A goysis doesn't have the halachic ability to make Kinyonim. And therefore, even if we hold that to make a Kinyon on what wasn't there at the time, of death, Adam Makna Dava Shloba Olam, but he can make a Kinyan if he did this as a Goysis. And that's what the Yaker will be here to teach us. That's the power of a father to identify that the son is a Bechor. We've quoted the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban says that where does a Bechor get Pishnayim? A Bechor gets Pishnayim only if the father died when the Bechor was alive. But if the Bechor predeceased the father, then the halacha is that he doesn't get Pishnayim. The Marit disagrees. And one of the rayas that the Chach Mishloima, I said the Ktzois quotes the Marit, although the Ktzois points out that it's clear that the Marit did not see the Ramban, because he doesn't quote the Ramban, and therefore he's not certain what would the Marit say if he saw the Ramban. But the Chach Mishloima brings a raya to the opinion of the Marit from our Gemara. The Gemara says, Hayakar. The Gemara says, what do I need Yakar? He could have given it to him anyway. But says the Chach Mishloima, do you know why we need Yakar? We need, that's not true, because giving to him, he could give it to him even if he predeceases. Bechor doesn't have that halacha. So it's a raya that a Bechor, there's no difference if he dies before the father or after the father. Tana, we've been discussing that a person has namonis, that as the Bryson now will continue, that he has a namonis regarding his son, and even by saying what he's saying, the son may become puzzle. Now the question is, it's not only the son, it's also the woman who he had this son with, asks Rabbi Chanan, will become puzzle. Because by saying that his wife was that he's a kohen and his wife is a grusha, and she had no right to marry him, so now she becomes puzzle from ever being able marrying a kohen. Because a grusha who marries a kohen has the halacha of a zayna. So the question that Rabbi Chanan asks is, how could he have namanas? The namanas that he's saying affects his wife. So of course, according to the Teretz of the Rishonim that we quoted earlier, that say that we do Palgin and the Bura, and we accept the namanas as far as the child is concerned, but not regarding him, and now we'll say not regarding the wife either. Rabbi Chanan gives a different approach. Rabbi Chanan says, we'll be speaking about a case where the wife is not alive anymore anyway. So there's no problem of disqualifying her. She's not here. Tana Rabbanan. Hay mechzokim boy shebuchar. There was a chazok on a certain child that he's a bechor. Vama aviv. And then his father says, al-acher. He says regarding a different son, that the other son is the bechor, Neman. Haya mechzokim boy she'en a bechor. If we had a chazok that this child is not the bechor, vama bechor, and he's Neman. Reisha, says the Gemara Rabbi Huda, that even against an existing chazakah, the father has namanas. And the Seifa, says the Gemara, is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. And I saw that the Rishonim and Achronim explained the Gemara uses the wording of this braisa very deliberately. The Reisha is coming to teach us that even though there was an existing chazakah, the father has namanas. That's how strong Rabbi Yehuda feels Yakar goes. On the other hand, the second case was Hayim Mechzokim She'en Bechor. So it's not the same. And the father says that he's a Bechor, Ein Naman. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Ben Yehu. If somebody says regarding a certain individual, this individual is my son. Then the Chazva Am Avdihu. And then he says, he's not my son, he's an Eved. The Loch is Ein Naman. Because once the father was trusted to say that Avdi, once he's trusted to say Avdi, he loses that trust. There is an interesting machloikus Rishonim that was saying now that once he said Bini, he's not Neman to say Avdi. When did that retraction take place? Does the retraction have to take place after Toich Kedei Dibur? But if it took place Toich Kedei Dibur, then the halach would be that he has a right to retract, as we find all over Shabbos, or the halacha is that this is a special halacha in Yakar, going back to what we learned, that once the father identifies this individual as his bechor, Yakar says that remains the halacha under all circumstances. However, So there's a machlokes Rishonim if he could retract Tarkadei Dibur or not. But if he said Avdihu, V'chazo Amar Benihu, Neman. Because he called him first Avdi, what he meant to say was, the Meshamesh Li Ke'Avd Kama, the son is loyal to me like a servant is loyal to his owner. Says the Gemara, V'chlufe Beis Meches. Saying somebody is your son is an advantage for taxes. Saying somebody he is your Eved is a disadvantage for taxes. So Hayo Eved Beis Meches is walking towards the taxes. And he says, Benihu, V'chazo Amar Avdihu Neman. Because we say he said that this individual's son is his son, not because the individual is really his son. He only said it so he should be able to get the tax advantage. But if he said Avdi v'chazo amar benihu at the tax office, enanaman, why would you say Avdi if he's not your Eved and you'll have this tax liability? Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Hoy misham shekuben, if there's an individual who's treating somebody as a father to a son, v'ama, and he said that he's my son, and then Chazvama Avdihu Einanem, and he's not trusted to retract, even though he was treating him like a son. We don't say that that he's considered an Eved because nobody calls an Eved a son. Continues the Braisa. If somebody is treating him like an Eved, and he says indeed that this individual is my Eved, and then he says he's my son, even though he was treating him like an Eved, because nobody calls a son an Eved. So we see, not like Rabbi Yochanan, that somebody could say that I called him an Eved because he's treating me like an Eved, but he's really my son. Says the Gemara, matters what type of Eved, how we call them an Eved. Amram Nachman, Yitzchak Hossam, the Karle Avda Meitzer Meya. If he called him Avdi Meitzer Meya, and the Gemara explains, what's the definition of Meitzer Meya? Meitzer Avda Meya Zuzi. He's worth 100 Zuz. So now, if you call somebody who is your son Eved, that isn't such a big question. Because what you're trying to indicate is the loyalty that your son has to you, that he's so loyal to you that he treats you as if he were your servant. And therefore, having called him a servant doesn't mean that he's not your son. But if you call him a servant, and not only do you call him a servant, but the way you describe him is you describe him as a servant that's worth a certain amount of money. When you're using that type of description, that clearly is an indication that you really meant to say that this individual is an Eved. If you really meant to say that this individual is an Eved, you cannot then retract and say, no, I didn't mean he's an Eved. I really meant he's a son.